This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. The Novelist by Nice Whip. Chapter 6. Jane leaned back in a lounge chair out near the pool. She tilted her head back, lifting her face toward the sun with her eyes closed, lightly feeling the rays on her bare skin. It was a liberating feeling for her. She had no need to be shy or covered. She had no need to worry if someone might show up and see her this way. She still felt embarrassed being naked in front of others, but only because she wasn't used to it. Marie set a small bowl of mixed fruit on the table in between their chairs. Jane reached down, plucked a bright green grape and popped it in her mouth. Marie stared at her sister and the dark letters on her breasts. Tom's will had been done. John had been an only child. Jane was Tom's only aunt. He had no cousins or siblings. Soon he would have no father either, she thought. Of course he'd always have a father, but John would be relegated to some estranged status. How else could it go? She wasn't sure what she wanted to say to her husband, if she wanted to say anything at all. John is coming out tomorrow, Marie finally spoke. Jane kept her head back and her eyes closed. Tom told me as much on Friday, Jane replied. He didn't say it would be tomorrow, but he said he'd be coming. She turned her head, looking at her sister out of squinted eyes. Are you worried?
No,
Marie said solemnly. I'm surprisingly relaxed. Since I came here, sir has done so much for me. He seems to have everything thought out. I trust that he knows what will happen. I guess it's just an odd feeling.
What is?
She asked. The separation from John, the divorce. Since I was a teenager, this is the longest we've spent apart. I can't forgive what he did, or how he reacted when I found out. But we spent the better part of our lives together. It's confusing to think that's over. Jane looked around at the pool and the patio and the lush landscaping. I think you came out on top in this situation, she noted. This is not a bad life.
Not bad at all.
She popped another grape in her mouth.
Maybe,
Marie said.
Maybe I did. I love him, you know. As a son and so much more. I get it, I think,
Jane stated quietly.
It's like I never really knew him before now.
The girls came in through the back gate all carrying shopping bags. They laughed and giggled as they came down the path toward the house. Alexis noticed Jane and Marie next to the pool and veered off in their direction. Abby followed her. Jane watched her approaching as she shed her clothing.
How does she make everything seem so natural?
I don't know,
Marie replied lightheartedly.
I'm envious of her. Who wouldn't be? I mean, look at her. She's like a model.
Alexis settled herself on the end of Jane's lounge chair as Abby knelt down next to her. She smiled at Jane.
And how are you doing?
She asked.
Oh.
Me?
Fine, good.
She paused.
Why is she down there?
She nodded toward the little brown-haired girl.
She's submissive, Jane. She serves sir just like I do, but he gave her to me as a gift.
She looked down and stroked Abby's hair.
Abby, this is Jane, sir's aunt.
Say hello.
Abby nearly jumped up in excitement.
Hi. It's so nice to meet you. Oh gosh, it's been so exciting here lately. You're really pretty. I hope that sir lets me lick your pussy. I bet you taste good like Marie.
Abby took a breath, looking at her breasts.
Don't be embarrassed about that,
she said, pointing at the words.
We're all sluts here.
Well, thank you.
I think,
Jane said, befuddled by the vivacious young girl.
Abby, take Marie inside and have her try on her outfit. I need a moment alone with Jane.
Yes, mistress,
she said, grabbing Marie's hand and pulling her along as she babbled about their excursion earlier. After a few moments, Alexis finally asked a familiar question.
Why are you here?
Jane looked at her a bit unnerved. She wasn't afraid of her today. Something seemed different now. Jane looked at the perfect blonde with some new understanding of the role she played. She studied Alexis' features while she mulled over her answer. She didn't know why she had made the trip. She didn't understand why she had stayed last night, or why she allowed him to dominate her this morning. It seemed as if there was only one simple truth.
Because I'm drawn to him, Jane said simply. I'm drawn to this life. I don't have a better answer than that.
Alexis smiled her graceful smile.
There aren't good and bad answers. Only honest ones.
She paused.
So what do you want now?
Jane knew what she wanted. She'd been thinking about it all morning. She saw the other girls all wearing their collars, and now she wanted to join them. She wanted one of her own. She wanted to be one of them.
I want a collar.
Alexis sighed.
That doesn't seem reasonable. Why not?
Jane pouted, unhappy with the answer.
Do you know what it means?
Alexis responded.
That he owns me. Jane said knowingly.
Then I can never go back.
But you have to go back, Jane. You don't live here. You have a home and a career. What would you do here?
Jane's eyes watered.
Look at me.
She pouted, holding her arms outstretched and gesturing to her body with a simple flick of her wrists.
Do you think I can go back to that? After I endured this? I can't even think of that life right now. It seems so pointless.
Alexis took in the sight of her body. Her breasts were bruised and defaced with the thick black words. The bruises on the backs of her thighs and ass could be seen creeping out from beneath her seated form. Alexis had thought he was thorough with Marie, but this had taken a first punishment to a new level. Sir had wanted to make a point with her.
Tell me, Alexis asked. How did it go this morning? I'll be honest that this is harsher than he is with most women on their first punishment.
Jane leaned forward and looked at the blonde with the calm intensity that she had felt in Tom's bondage.
The first few hurt like hell. After that I felt very calm. When he made his way down to the bottom of my ass with that strap, I came.
Alexis didn't say a word at first, nor did she show any expression. She knew the implication of Jane's admission. She had gotten off on it. Alexis enjoyed when Sir punished her, but she wasn't a pain slut. For her the pain acted as a reminder. For her she liked to endure it to show her strength. It was rare to find someone that took pleasure in the act. Even Jen, who enjoyed being whipped more than most, didn't climax from the experience.
I'll take you to the store. You can pick out a collar. But Jane, that doesn't mean that he'll accept it. Okay? It's Sir's decision. It's always Sir's decision.
Jane just smiled back at the blonde, pleased with the response.
I know. She responded. I'm starting to realize that now.
Tom drove over to the corner of Hollywood and Selma. He parked his car at Meter and fed his credit card into the greedy machine. He wasn't far from Steven's shop. He thought that he probably should have just walked over instead of moving the car. He strolled up around the corner heading north on Selma toward the weathered blue and red spiraled barber pole that hung above an otherwise unremarkable doorway. He pushed the glass door inward, listening to the squeaky hinges announce his arrival. The shop was dated. There was a simple counter and register just inside the door. The room was narrow and long. 5 barber chairs sat lined in a row down its length. Along the left-hand wall was a wooden bench that served as a waiting area. He could smell the distinct odor of barbicide that was used as a disinfectant. Sam sat in one of the barber chairs, running his scissors and straight razors across a sharpening strop. He often complained that you couldn't get quality tools for the trade anymore. He preferred his old razors and he kept them in good condition. He turned slowly at the sound of the door. His movements were unrushed. Sam certainly moved at his own pace. His face was weathered and old, with a thick, stubby silver mustache that matched his full head of hair. Well, I'll be damned. He drawled, setting aside his tools and carefully getting to his feet. He took in the sight of the young man sporting a few days' worth of stubble.
What's with the whiskers, Tom? You posing for religious paintings or something? Just been a little preoccupied lately. It's good to see you,
Tom said, extending his hand for a shake. Sam reached out with a firm grip.
Jesus, you've got a grip on you, old man,
he continued, smiling.
Marine Corps will teach you that, son. You youngsters are all too coddled. What'll it be today? The regular?
Nah, Tom said.
I'll take the shave too. How's business been?
Slow, he said.
It's about high time I packed it in. Can't much afford the rent anymore.
Sam tilted back the chair and placed a hot, damp towel around Tom's neck and face in preparation for the straight razor. He picked up his ceramic lather bowl and began whipping some shaving cream with the coarse hairs of his brush.
I guess an old codger like me has gotta admit when he's had a good run, Sam continued. How about you? How you been?
Troubled, Sam, he replied.
My mom flew out here this week. My parents are getting a divorce. My father is being unreasonable. It's gotten contentious. I guess I'm disappointed with him.
Sam removed the towel and began to paint the lathered cream over Tom's stubble.
Family is always a tough one. I've had a few spats in my day. Went 17 years without talking to my son because of such and such. One day I woke up and realized I couldn't remember what we were even arguing about. You think it's stupid to disown someone?
Tom asked.
Not stupid. Foolish, maybe. You get to be my age and you think back on your choices. Sometimes you watch other people make the same ones you did. We're men. We make decisions on principle. Principles are important. They define a man,
Sam stated as he dragged the sharp end of the razor over Tom's skin with precision.
If you had it to do over again with your son, would you make the same choice?
Suppose I would,
Sam replied.
Knowing the consequences doesn't change the type of man I am.
It was thought-provoking to hear the old man talk. Tom had principles. In fact, it was his principles that changed him a few years back. It was his principles that set him aside from other dominants in the lifestyle. It was his principles that allowed him to be successful.
Should I consider that advice?
Tom asked.
It's just conversation, son. Nothing more, nothing less,
Sam stated.
You do what needs to be done. And then you live with your choices. That's my advice if you're looking for some.
Tom marinated on that thought. He wasn't interested in talking too much. So he leaned back quietly and watched the old man's arthritic fingers as they combed through his hair, clipping and trimming it into something more manageable. Alexis was pleased with the progress she had made today. She'd heard from almost all the girls regarding the new contracts. Arrangements were already in the works for Tom's birthday.
They had gone out and gotten their lingerie for tomorrow evening. She even reached out to Eric back in upstate New York. Most importantly to her, the gift she had made for Tom was ready to be picked up. The other women had left for the day. Alexis was feeling tired as the day wore on. Marie had offered to get her a glass of wine. She politely declined. She was pleased that no one seemed to notice that she hadn't been drinking. She didn't have anything at the bar in Saratoga Springs, nor had she enjoyed a mimosa this morning. She simply poured herself a champagne flute filled with orange juice. The only alcohol she'd had since her pregnancy began was the small sip from Jane's glass when she arrived. She sat back on the sofa and watched as Marie instructed her sister on the proper positions. The two women occasionally glanced at Alexis for approval. Marie had made huge strides in such a short amount of time, but she was still new to it and appreciated Alexis' guiding force. Jane whimpered and winced as Marie bumped against her bruised body. The jolts of pain shocked her, but they also aroused her in that new way. Angie wheeled out her suitcase into her living room. It had taken her about an hour to pack. She considered that to be rather expeditious considering it was her first major trip, although most people wouldn't consider it that major. It took a little consideration on her part. She wasn't all that fashionable, and she worried that she'd look like a tourist among the fashionistas of Los Angeles. She had the essentials. She unzipped her bag one last time in the living room to double check. Bathing suit, check. Sundresses, check. Heels, check. Evening dress, check. Sandals, check. And on she went back over each item. Finally, she took a small tote bag and filled it as a carry-on for the flight. The last item she dropped inside was Tom's book. She didn't want to admit how excited she was to visit California. Her real excitement was rooted in the thought of seeing him and watching him work with the submissive women he had mentioned. It gave her butterflies in her stomach just to imagine it, although there was also a small pang of guilt knowing that she was deceiving John. She waited patiently until the doorbell finally rang. She opened the door to see John's smiling face. "Hello, beautiful," he said. "Are you ready for a week of relaxation on the West Coast?" He moved in to wrap his arms around her. Angie still felt awkward having him grab at her. She was beginning to think that this was a bad idea altogether. If it weren't for the prospect of seeing Tom, then she wouldn't have agreed to this trip. "Wait, John," she said, pushing him back slightly, trying not to be too dismissive of his advances. "I want you to know that I'm still upset about yesterday. I appreciated your apology and all, but it doesn't make it all better. Okay? I still need you to be respectful of my career and my life." "I know. I know. That's why I wanted you to come with me. Let me show you how much you mean to me, Angie," he replied as smoothly as he could. "Let's not start it like this. Don't start the trip by pushing me away. I promise this will be great. We're going to have such a good time together." She felt trapped. She knew he was right on some level. It just wasn't possible to expect to dodge him for an entire week. At some point, she was going to have to succumb to his advances and give a little something in return. "Okay, John," she said, putting on her best manufactured smile. "I admit that you're trying, and I appreciate it. Let's see if I can say thank you." She dropped down to her knees and reached up, unbuckling his belt. She unbuttoned his khakis and then reached her hand up to his waist and pulled his pants and underwear down right there in the center of the room. "Well," she said, trying to be cheery about the awfully small size of him. "It looks like someone is a little excited. Let's take care of this." Angie reached up, wrapping her fingers around his shaft and giving him a couple pumps. Then she leaned forward and swallowed his entire length. John watched with an approving smile while the young girl tended to his erection. Angie worked his cock with everything she had. She just wanted to get this over with and get to the airport. John groaned out loud. "Oh shit. That's it, suck my cock. Oh yeah? That's good. That's so good." Angie sucked harder and reached her hands up to massage his balls. She didn't breathe. She didn't stop her momentum. She just attacked it with her mouth pushing him toward completion. It seemed as if it was taking forever. He didn't usually have this kind of stamina. She couldn't have known that he had masturbated a few times already today. Finally, he was getting there. She felt his balls begin to tighten. "Oh shit. I'm so close. Don't stop. Oh fuck." And then he let out another long groan as he began to come. The first drop hit her tongue, and Angie's face scowled at the sour, pungent taste. She quickly removed her mouth and kept pumping the last drops out. She was surprised by the small amount. It occurred to her then that this was not the first time he came today. She looked back up at him, reapplying her manufactured smile. "How was that? All better now?" "It was perfect," he said. "I needed that." "Thank you." "You're welcome. Why don't you take my bag to the car? I'm going to wash my hands, and then I'll be right out." "Sure thing," he said with a much more chipper voice. John toted her suitcase out the front door and down the steps. The smile on his face was a combination of satisfaction and happiness with a hint of an evil grin. This was a brilliant idea, he thought to himself. It had already started to work in his favor. In John's mind, the key to a younger woman was offering her something that she couldn't provide herself. They were all whores in one way or another. Maybe it wasn't cash they wanted, but you could buy their devotion with a trip or clothes or fancy dinners. Angie washed the rest of his cum off her hand. She was struck with wonder at what she saw in him. Had someone asked her a few days ago if she was happy, she probably would have said yes. But after the last few days, she wasn't sure that was the case at all. She stepped out of the kitchen back into the living room. She looked at the massage table and thought about Tom defiling her on it. He hadn't been whiny or pleading. He had just directed her confidently and then taken what he wanted. She needed to see him. He was consuming her thoughts. She grabbed her tote bag and then glanced back at the room, scanning to see if there was anything she missed. She didn't think so. She had gone through everything more than a few times. She walked onto the front porch and then made sure she locked the door and the deadbolt. She hopped down the steps and into John's Ford Explorer. And they were on their way. Each of them sat quietly for the first few minutes of the trip. They smiled at each other silently, but they were each consumed with thoughts of their deception. Each one thinking the other was there out of some sort of devotion. Tom stepped back out onto the street feeling quite a bit better. He appreciated the feeling of a fresh shave and a haircut. He felt clean and put together. There was something about it that made his movements seem a bit more pointed and purposeful. Maybe it was silly to think such a simple act could affect his demeanor, but it did. He enjoyed talking to the old man. It made him a bit sad to think that Sam might shutter the doors to his business. He'd been open for almost 50 years, and in that time he rarely missed a day of work. Sam always told him that work gave him purpose. He always impressed on Tom the idea that once someone, particularly someone in the winter of their life, gave up on working, they were giving up on living just the same. Tom wondered if that's why he enjoyed Sam, Frank, Jim, and Steven so much. They all worked. They all needed to feel purposeful. Tom thought about his father for a moment. He had whined on the phone that he worked his entire life toward retirement. Tom pitied him. He wondered what satisfaction retirement would offer. It sounded like a banal existence filled with repetitious boredom. His friends, even Eric, all worked because they enjoyed it. They needed it. It was already mid-afternoon. Tom's upset over the mistreatment of the young girl in Steven's shop was wearing away. He wondered what would become of her. He considered his actions. Then he thought of Sam's advice. "You do what needs to be done," Sam had stated. If ever there were words that resonated with Tom, those would be them. It just made sense in its simplicity. He pulled into his driveway and parked in front of the detached garage. He stepped into the backyard and felt the familiar calmness settle over him. He took a moment to remind himself that, despite everything that happened in the last few days, he was still in control. He had handled everything that was thrown at him so far. He smiled his wry smile. Alexis sat up. She felt better after resting for an hour. Her ear was attuned to the house, and she could hear the subtle sound of the engine in the distance. She looked up and saw Tom through the floor-to-ceiling windows as he stepped into the backyard. "Sir is home." Marie looked up from the floor where she had been helping Jane with a presentation position. She beamed excited at the news.
"Oh no,"
Jane said suddenly.
"What do I do? What am I supposed to do?"
"Shh," Alexis replied.
"Don't get so worked up. Just kneel when he comes in. You'll be just fine."
"But wait, kneel? Not a presentation position?" she asked with her nerves aflutter. Jane seemed fine for a while this morning. The session that Tom had given her stirred some powerful emotions inside her. She wanted to see him again. She wanted him to be pleased. But she had fallen back into the overwhelming feelings she had when she first arrived. There was just so much to digest, and now, with all the new rules and positions she was learning, it seemed hard to act appropriately.
"Just kneel," Marie said calmly. "Try not to overthink it. Kneel and follow instructions."
Okay,
Jane replied tentatively.
"You'll learn, Jane. Once you start to follow instructions, it's really not that hard at all," Marie said. "It's nice not having to think too much."
Tom came through the back door and into the living room. Alexis slipped from the couch, and the three women knelt in a row in front of him. Tom was still wearing his wry smile. He didn't say anything. He walked over to the coffee table and picked up the nipple weights from this morning. Then he came back and quickly clamped them onto Jane's breasts. She let out a high-pitched squeak as they took hold.
"Oh, sir!"
Marie gasped.
"Please! She's been through so much already."
Tom gave her a disapproving glance.
"And you think you know how to train her better than I do?"
"No, sir!
I just..."
Tom picked up the crop lying against the wall. He pointed the tip toward the floor in front of Jane and stared back at his mother. She lowered her head and then crawled over to assume the position.
"Look at my needy slut," he said coldly.
Marie lifted her head and stared back at her sister in front of her. It had been days since she felt the sting of the crop, and now she realized her mistake. She didn't need to be whipped. She just had to remember her place. Tom raised the end and then snapped it down, making sure the sting would sear her fading bruises. Marie didn't do a thing except remain still. Jane winced at the sound of the crop each time it connected. He laid 10 blows into her tender ass.
"Kneel up,"
Tom stated. He reached over and took the weights from Jane's breasts and then clipped them onto Marie's nipples. She whimpered audibly and used to the new pain. It was more painful than the nipple clips he attached to her yesterday. Tom looked down at Jane.
"Tell my mom what you are," he said.
Jane looked directly into her sister's eyes.
"I'm a needy slut, sir."
She didn't hesitate to get the words out.
"Good. Now, on your hands and knees. I want you to show her what that means."
She shifted forward, dropping onto her hands.
"Do these hurt?"
he asked, rubbing the deep purple bruises on her ass.
"Yes, sir. Very much,"
she responded. Tom raised his hand and brought it down on her left ass cheek. Marie looked down in horror as he spanked her sister's already battered rear. He could hear her breathing quicken. Jane accepted what he had to give her. She felt those feelings begin to take hold inside her, those new sensations that confused her so much. Tom moved his target lower between her ass and upper thighs. He slapped them without mercy until he saw her body begin to quake and shiver. Marie's eyes were trained on Jane. She saw her sister's lips tremble and the confusion in her face until she gasped out loud.
Tell her what happened, Jane. Tell her what you just did.
I came, sir.
Even Alexis found it fascinating to watch a pained slut submit to her needs and get off on it. Marie just wasn't certain how it was possible. She had seen it with her own eyes, though. For her, it was just a testament to his ability to understand people and her lack of understanding about bondage and submission. Jane was breathing heavily. The climax from the pain wasn't powerful, but the emotions that came with it were. Tom pulled her back to her knees. She looked at him adoringly. Each time he made her come like that, it caused such a connection to him. Tom knelt down next to her.
I have high hopes for you, Jane. He began. More so than my mother.
More than the other women you saw here today. If you can put your faith in me, I'll redefine everything you ever thought about yourself. Would you like that?
Jane looked at him with such desire. Hadn't he done that already, she wondered. She looked at her sister, who remained stoic on her hands and knees. She wanted to be here more than ever. She couldn't think about being anywhere else.
Yes, sir. She replied softly. Then unbutton my pants and pull out my cock.
Jane reached up and fumbled with his pants nervously. She was excited to see his cock again. Every time she felt it inside her, it made her want it more. She pulled his pants down and saw his half-limp length dangling in front of her. She waited patiently. Just follow instructions, she told herself. It's easy if you just follow instructions.
That's a good slut, Tom said kindly.
You're going to put it in your mouth and you're going to swallow. Now listen closely, if I see a single drop escape your lips, I'm going to walk you to your car and send you on your way for good. You're different than the others, Jane. I'm going to be far stricter with you.
Marie listened to his words. Somehow she felt that he favored her sister over her. She didn't quite understand it. She thought that it might be additional punishment for trying to help her. She didn't dare utter a word. She and Alexis just watched. Tom wanted Marie to witness this, though. He wanted her to see Jane crumble to his will. Jane reached up and lifted his heavy length into her mouth.
That's good, he said. Tighten those lips around it.
He felt her make a tighter seal with her lips.
Now you look at me. Don't look anywhere else.
Jane lifted her gaze to his. Then she felt a warm trickle. It took her a moment to realize what was happening. It was the sweet and tangy taste of his cum that she had been expecting. It was the distinct, ammonia-tinted flavor of urine. It began to fill her mouth. Her eyes widened with confusion as she pleaded silently with just a look.
I'd start swallowing if I were you, Tom said unremorsefully.
Marie didn't understand what was happening. Then she saw Jane's throat gulp and swallow. It began to dawn on her. She could barely even process it when she saw her sister gulp and swallow again. And then again. Jane considered backing away from the embarrassment. She didn't want to go home, though. She knew he was serious. Maybe if she just endured this debasement, then she could be like the other women. Tom had other plans for her. He also needed to take a piss since his left the barbershop. And so he relieved himself in her mouth for what felt like an eternity. The more she swallowed, the stranger Jane felt. She was beginning to sense those unfamiliar feelings inside her. The sheer embarrassment was making her wet. A tear escaped her eyes and rolled down her cheek. Not because of what he was doing to her, but because of her reaction to it. Who was she? Did she not know anything about herself? Maybe he really was redefining her whole world. Finally, she felt the stream become a trickle. She was relieved that it was almost over. Then he pulled his cock back through her tight lips and let it slip out of her mouth. Tom reached down and ran his hands over her pussy.
You're soaking, he said, leaning in and whispering. Does the embarrassment get you off? What a dirty little slut you are. I know just how you need to be treated.
Then he ran his fingers over her clit furiously until he brought her to a satisfying climax. Tom walked over and sat down on the couch. He patted the seat next to him, beckoning Alexis.
Kneel up, both of you,
he said, watching them shift their positions.
I'm going to let you both stay here for as long as you want. Jane, you'll be getting your own bedroom. But I want you to remember that Alexis is the most important woman in my life.
Alexis nuzzled into him, hearing his kind words.
So, Lexi, he said, turning his attention to her. These sluts are yours as well. I'd like to give them to you.
Really, sir?
She asked excitedly.
Yes. Really?
Marie didn't mind hearing the news. If she had to serve anyone else in her life, she wanted it to be Alexis. Jane, however, felt so ashamed to be given to another person. She wanted to be upset, but being regarded as property just doubled the intensity of the heat in her pussy. She was staying. He had just agreed to that. But it didn't change how confused she was about herself, her wants, or her desires.
On your knees, Lexi, Tom said.
She dropped to the floor in front of him, and he pointed his now hard cock toward her. She didn't need any instruction. In one swift motion, she swallowed his entire length into her throat. Marie and Jane looked on while the strange and beautiful woman sucked him off like a practiced slut. As usual, she made the entire act look effortless and graceful. She had no trouble handling his size. Tom pushed her forward and bent her over the coffee table. It struck a chord with Jane, seeing the blonde in that position. It was the same way he had fucked her for the first time. Watching it made her ache to feel stretched by him. Tom fucked her with solid, forceful thrusts. He didn't come quickly.
He took his time and pounded her pussy, finally giving her the proper attention she'd craved the last few days. When Alexis came, she looked directly at Jane and Marie as if she wanted them to see Sir fuck her the way she needed. And she came repeatedly. Marie was still unused to seeing him bring a woman to climax. The ease in which he took someone was something to be awed. He had a gift, she thought. It wasn't just his size. It was his ability as well. The entire act was new to Jane, though. She'd only experienced him. Seeing him fuck was an incredible aphrodisiac. Despite the disgusting act he performed on her, she needed him more than ever. Tom finally drained his balls inside Alexis. He didn't groan. He just breathed heavily, and his nostrils flared slightly like a wild animal that just caught its prey. He stood up suddenly. His chest heaved as his diaphragm expanded and contracted. And soon, his breathing was normal again.
Lexi, Jane gets your old room. Show her the way when you're finished with them.
He stated, turning his attention to the women.
As for you two, displeasing Alexis is no different than displeasing me.
Don't question her.
Yes, sir.
They each squeaked out. But Tom was already out the door. Tom carried his clothes back up to his room. He jumped into the shower to clean himself off. Then he pulled on some more comfortable Adidas running pants. He walked back downstairs and ignored the women in the living room, choosing to keep working on his preparations for tomorrow. It was indicative of his normal movements, constant and unyielding, as if his life was always working toward an event that never happened. He felt good. As a matter of fact, he felt better than he had since his mother arrived. Things with Alexis were going well. He had enjoyed fucking her. She was never a problem, though. His thoughts kept drifting back to his mother and his aunt. Jane, he thought, had accepted the vile act. As far as he was concerned, she was now lost on a downward spiral to a kind of submission that he had only experienced a handful of times. It was always the strongest-willed women that fell the furthest. Tom climbed the stairs to his office and made his way to the dark oak cabinet near his desk. He opened a small door and retrieved a crystal scotch tumbler and his bottle of Macallan 1939. Jim had bought him the bottle as congratulations when his second novel made the New York Times bestseller list. It was a 40-year-old scotch blend bottled in 1979 and ran the steep price of $10,000 a bottle. Tom rarely drank it. He poured himself two fingers, sat down at his desk, kicked his feet up leaning back, and then took a small sip, feeling the peaty, toffee-flavored liquor burn down his throat. After a few moments, he sat back upright, unlocked his computer, and began to compose an email to Angie. He considered the events of the next evening. Her actions would be important, and he honestly wasn't sure how she would react. She was a wild card. He crafted the instructions, and then read them back to himself a few times. The lines for security were long. Angie was overwhelmed by the hustle and bustle of the airport. She'd never flown anywhere. She'd been to the airport a couple times, but never past security and never on a plane. They were the next in line. She stepped up to the TSA agent and handed him her driver's license and ticket. He looked at the picture and then back at her and then at the picture again. Then he scribbled something on the front of her ticket and waved her forward with a general lack of social graces. She looked over at John.
Another line?
She harumphed.
It seems so extraneous. They just need to scan our carry-ons. Then we can head straight to the gate. We've got time. We'll be there just in time to board.
He responded as if it weren't a big deal at all. They inched along until they were asked to remove their shoes. Angie was happy that she had worn a pair of flats, and slipped them off and into the gray bin she set on the metal counter. She thought everything was over until she was flagged for an additional check and taken into a small room off to the right.
Ma'am, place your feet right here, please.
The overweight security guard stated, pointing to a dirty rubber mat with 2 feet painted on the top. Angie raised her hands up as instructed. The officer smirked as she felt around her breasts with the back of her hands. She hadn't worn a bra, and Angie was certain that the woman was pressing into her a little more than necessary. Then she bent down and brought her chubby fingers up under the hem of her skirt, feeling her inner thighs coming awfully close to touching her pussy. This is ridiculous, she thought. She had worn a light sweater and a skirt that fell just above the knee. It was obvious that she wasn't concealing anything. She endured the procedure, certain that the woman had singled her out on purpose. By the time she was led out, John was waiting next to the machine where they swabbed luggage for explosive residue. There were a few chairs set up for people to put back on their shoes. He watched her come forward and chuckled.
I think she liked you,
he said.
She totally checked out your ass just now.
Oh, shut up, Angie said, not amused.
That was completely unwarranted. I'm surprised she didn't make me strip completely. Let's just go.
Angie holstered her bag and pulled out her phone. She tapped on the screen, seeing a new notification. She dropped back a few paces behind John, noticing the email address. She glanced through the message, but it was long, and she couldn't read it while she was weaving through the streams of people in the terminal. Angie could feel her heart rate increase. This is why she was here. This was the reason she agreed to the trip. She just needed to find a quiet place to read through his message.
Well, it appears that you two are all mine, Alexis said after she came down from her high. Which one of you is going to clean my pussy?
She was still bent over the coffee table with her ass in the air.
I will.
Marie jumped at the opportunity.
You licked it this morning, she said, dismissing her. Jane, get back there and suck Sir's come out of my pussy.
Jane looked at Marie, surprised that she had already gone down on the blonde today. These sisters were learning a lot about each other. She crawled forward slowly, happy to get any other taste in her mouth than the one she already had.
Jane had been with a couple women back in college. It was in her early feminist, women's liberation, man-hating phase in law school. Even so, that was a long time ago, and this was not about women enjoying each other. This was straight servitude and obedience. She settled herself behind Alexis. She noted her perfect, round ass and smooth pussy. Alexis didn't have even a hint of a tan line. Her skin was an even golden tan color. Without further hesitation, she stuck out her tongue and licked her pussy all the way from her clit to the hole that was oozing Sir's cum.
"Oh shit," Alexis said, startled. "This isn't your first rodeo, is it? I'll enjoy having your tongue around."
Those words were devastating to Marie. It wasn't just that Sir had said her sister was different than the other girls. Now, Alexis seemed to be enjoying her more as well. She could do better if she were given the opportunity, she thought. She would take as hard a whipping as Sir could dole out. She'd drink his pee if that's what he wanted. She'd lick as much pussy as it took to be better. She wanted to be the best. Marie knelt there with the weights pulling her nipples down. She felt strange watching her sister lick Alexis so unabashedly. Alexis cooed and moaned and wiggled her ass backward in Jane's face.
"Come on, Marie. You can have a turn too,"
Alexis moaned out.
"Jane, spread my ass and lick my asshole."
Marie clambered forward and latched onto her pussy. Alexis contracted and squeezed some more of Sir's cum from inside her. Marie immediately lapped it up while Jane pressed her tongue into her ass. Even Alexis wasn't used to having two women work on her at the same time. She was lost in the pleasure, and her climax caught her off guard.
"Oh fuck, oh fuck," she squealed. "Oh god. Tongue my ass."
Alexis erupted again almost immediately. Alexis sat up and pushed Jane down onto her back.
"Sit, Marie,"
she said, pointing to Jane's face. Marie looked at her sister and saw a sad smile letting her know it was okay. It wasn't like either of them had a choice. Marie lowered her pussy down onto her sister's face. She knew immediately what Alexis had meant. Jane knew exactly where to lick her. It was better than any of the other women that had gone down on her in the last few days. And it only took a moment for her not to care who it was. Alexis slapped Jane's clit with her fingers. It elicited a yelp, and the small vibration from her lips forced Marie over the edge.
"Oh, hi's,"
Marie squeaked, pressing down harder and smothering her sister. She lifted back up a little, allowing enough room for Jane's tongue to lick through the folds of her pussy, tasting the wetness. Alexis pulled Marie forward and unclipped the weights from her nipples. She bent forward and licked each one, soothing them. She had Marie settle to her knees and pulled Jane upright.
"Sir was right about you," she said to Jane. "You are a natural submissive."
Jane smiled at the words.
"Thank you, mistress,"
Alexis added quickly.
"That's what I am to you now. Come on. You get my old room."
"Yes, mistress,"
Jane replied, getting used to the sound of it. The two women exited, leaving Marie alone on the ground in the empty, airy living room. Neither Tom nor Alexis intended for her to feel second best. It had come about naturally from the changing social dynamics due to the increasing number of people in the house. Marie wanted to be the favorite submissive. She vowed then and there to be a better slut for both of them. Alexis stopped at the end of the hallway upstairs. She was standing in front of a door that neither Jane nor Marie had seen open. Jane was still on a bit of high from the embarrassment downstairs. All the things that she had been forced to do were affecting her in a very arousing way. She couldn't wait to see her room. If it was anything like Marie's room, then she would never want to leave, she thought. There wasn't a room yet that she didn't find to be impeccably furnished. Alexis produced a key and slipped it into the lock. Then she stopped before she turned the knob.
"Jane?"
"Yes, mistress?"
"First of all, you should be kneeling," she said.
"But
I'm not concerned with that at the moment. I'm not sure what Sir saw in you that he knew you would take to the lifestyle. I was wrong this morning. You'll get your collar."
"I will?"
she asked excitedly.
"Mistress,"
she corrected her.
"Do not forget to address me properly, or Sir will make sure your bruises never disappear. But yes, you will. You know that this was my room when I first moved into the house. This is significant. Only four women have ever stayed in here. You'll be the fifth. He sees something in you."
She paused for a moment.
"I'm protective of him. Please don't disappoint him."
"Yes, mistress,"
Jane replied. She couldn't understand why Alexis was suddenly so serious. If this was as special as she made it seem, then she couldn't imagine the luxury waiting behind the door. Alexis looked back at her, about to say something else. She thought about it for a moment.
"There's a book on the desk,"
she said.
"Read it. It will explain things better than I can. No one except Sir will ever come in your room. It's yours until—"
she stopped a little bit, choked up.
"Until it's not."
Alexis could barely hold in her emotions. She didn't say anything else. She turned and ran down the stairs. Tears began to flow. So many memories came flooding back to her, so many emotions. Jane stared at her confused. Just when she thought she was getting the hang of everything, something happened that made little sense to her. She brushed off the strange reaction and turned her attention back to the door. She twisted the doorknob, stepping inside, and then stopped in utter confusion. Alexis flew into the guest house and bounded up the stairs two at a time. She was sobbing heavily now. Then she practically dove to the ground into a presentation position, waiting for him to allow her to speak. She couldn't control the sobs any longer. Tom wasn't sure what to make of her sudden intrusion and clear emotional distress.
"What is it, Lexi? How could you do it, Sir? Why her? Why not Marie?"
she sobbed. It dawned on him immediately.
She wanted him to give the room to his mother.
I have my reasons, Lexi.
You know that. It's unlike you to question me.
Something's wrong, sir. I can feel it.
She sobbed.
What did she do wrong?
Nothing. He replied quietly. The decision hadn't been easy for him either.
I'm not sure she's done anything wrong in her entire life.
Then why, sir? She blurted.
Because it's the way it had to be.
Maybe you'll understand it in time.
Maybe you won't. It doesn't change the fact that this is the way it is.
I let her lick my pussy this morning. She blathered. She belongs to you for the time being.
That's your prerogative. He replied quietly.
No. I let her do it before you gave her to me.
She lifted her ass higher into the air, presenting it for him.
I'll take my punishment now, sir.
Tom's heart wept for her. This would be more difficult for her to handle than he thought. He didn't want to punish her, but she had broken his rules. More importantly, she needed it. He could see it in her distress. She needed to feel something other than the pain of his decision.
Tom stood up from his desk and retrieved the leather strap. He walked over to her, staring at her ass. Then he granted her wish.
Thwop.
It cracked so loud that it sounded like thunder in the room. Alexis bawled out loud instead of remaining calm, stoic and unmoving like she usually was when she took a punishment. She needed to let it out. She sensed something terrible.
Thwop. Thwop. Thwop.
He cracked her again and again. He'd known for days now that Marie wouldn't get the room. He'd known since the night he collared her. He struck her harder, pouring out his own sadness through the end of the strap. And so he gave her a punishment worthy of the name.
Wow. You're really nervous.
Flying is one of the safest forms of transportation, huh?
John wasn't all that good at offering a consolation, not that she needed any.
I'm fine. I'm okay. She responded quietly. Angie's foot was tapping on the floor uncontrollably. He'd mistaken it for a phobia, but Angie was only thinking about that email. She needed to read it, and she was impatient. The plane was taking forever to reach cruising altitude. She kept peering out the window and waiting for the moment the cabin leveled out. She finally noticed the angle of the incline begin to decrease and then flatten completely. But the pesky fastened seatbelt sign was still glowing. It was taunting her. She stared at it unblinking, willing it to go away. She heard the ding. The flight attendant's announcement filled the speakers.
You are now free to move about the cabin.
Oh, thank God, she thought.
I have to pee.
She said, jumping up and climbing over John's lap to the narrow aisle in a rush. Angie could barely get there fast enough. She climbed into the cramped lavatory, sliding the lock shut, and then sat down on the closed lid of the toilet. She pulled her phone out of her pocket as if she were smuggling contraband, and powered it back up. She knew she wasn't supposed to be using it on the plane, but this was an emergency. The home screen appeared and she clicked on her email, opening up his message. She became suddenly still. She studied each word, reading every sentence twice. Her heart pounded in her chest. She read it again as if she were reading Latin or Sumerian or some other dead language. Angie knew he was sending instructions, but it suddenly seemed so real. He had sent them. They were graphic. At least for her, they were graphic. She felt nervous, like it was the first day of school and she couldn't find her classes. The last line was a final instruction to make herself come on the airplane. She wondered how he knew that she would read it before the flight, or during the flight, in this case. It didn't matter. She was so turned on already. She lifted her skirt up above her waist and dug her fingers into her pussy, gasping at the very naughtiness of following his instruction in a semi-public place. Angie had to bite her lip as the first orgasm hit her. She had three fingers buried deep inside her. Somebody knocked on the door and attempted to open it just as she was climaxing.
It's occupied!
She squeaked, but her voice came out shrill and breathless, and her cheeks burned with embarrassment. This didn't seem right, Jane thought, as she stepped into the room. This didn't seem right at all. She looked around the room, wondering if it were some kind of a joke. Sitting up against the far wall was a queen-sized mattress and box spring on the floor. The comforter was cherry red. There was a small wooden desk under the lone window in the room. It wasn't fancy at all. It was simple and plain, with a matching wooden chair tucked under it. She saw a full-length standing mirror in the other corner of the room, but nothing else in terms of furniture. No dresser. No nightstand. No area rug or fancy remote-controlled ceiling fans. No television. Just a single standard light fixture hanging in the center of the room. She walked in further and saw another door. She opened it slowly and peeked inside. It was a bathroom, a small one at that. There was just a shower, no tub. She was befuddled by everything. Why would Alexis have sounded so serious? She noticed her luggage on the floor next to the door. She looked back up, seeing four oversized framed, black and white photos on the wall. She had walked right by them. She tilted her head, looking at each one. They were all photos of women in various states of bondage. Each woman was bruised and bound. Then she realized the one on the far left was Alexis. She was kneeling with her arms bound behind her. Her head was partially bowed, and her ass and thighs were bruised. She looked defeated. She noticed the woman in the photo next to her as well. It was the Italian woman that she had seen in the living room this morning. She was on her stomach with her arms and feet pulled back up into the air and tied together above her. She looked defeated as well. She didn't recognize the other two women. Then she glanced up and saw the large book on the desk. Jane walked over and sat down in the small chair. There was a letter on top of it with her name on it. She carefully opened it and saw Tom's handwritten instructions for three separate divorce settlement offers.
She wondered why he wanted three. Jane set the letter aside and pulled the thick leather-bound book forward. It felt like a tome as thick as a Bible. She opened the cover, seeing page after page of handwritten entries. She flipped open to a random page and began reading.
Alexis, January 25th, 11. The nights seem the longest part of the day to me. This room is barren. I have nothing but my thoughts. Sir whipped me so badly today that even sitting on the comforter is painful. I cried when I got back to the room. I knelt in front of the mirror for an hour by myself. I just looked at my reflection. I saw myself the way that he sees me. It was beautiful in the strangest way. I've begun to call him sir even when he isn't around. It helps me remember what he is to me. My sir.
Jane gasped, realizing the date and the name, and then glanced back at the bound, defeated woman in the photo. She flipped to another page.
Francesca, December 21st, 11. I think I had the most incredible orgasm of my life today. But I think I wrote that in my last two entries too. I don't know how he knows me so well. When I'm at work, I can only think of being back here. I've been reading Alexis' entries. She writes about kneeling in front of the mirror. It's in 42 consecutive entries. I counted.
She flipped further into the book, selecting another page at random.
Karen, June 28th, 12. My first entry. I'm nervous being here. Alexis and Fran were very emotional when they brought me to the room. I don't think I understand it yet. Nobody told me why I'm staying here or what I'm supposed to do. I've been reading through this journal. I could barely stop to put in an entry of my own. Does this mean that I'm special to him? Did Sir select me for some special kind of training? I'm just not.
Jane glanced back at the wall, wondering which of the last two Karen was. Was she expected to write in here as well? Was her picture going to be on the wall too? She thought maybe she should begin writing the divorce settlements on her computer. She looked up, glancing out the window, confused over what was expected of her. She saw Alexis in the distance, following Sir out of the guest house. What was this place? She flipped through the thick book until she found the first blank page.
Jane, August 18th, 13.
She wrote down neatly at the top of the page. She thought about writing the events that lead her here. She fidgeted. Then she stood up and walked toward the mirror. She contemplated it for a moment, looking at the bruises on her body. Then she knelt down, remembering what Sir said to her: back straight, chest out, stomach in, hands on her knees. Then she looked back at her reflection and wept. She wept for the woman staring back at her for all of the events over her life, good and bad, that led her here. By the time Tom and Alexis made it back to the house, they found Marie in the kitchen finishing a meal. She knelt down immediately and bowed her head submissively, hoping that he would notice how hard she was trying to please him.
Cooking?
He asked.
Yes, sir. If you'd like to wait in the dining room, I'll serve you shortly, sir.
She responded. Tom walked on toward the dining room. Marie saw Alexis follow him. She noticed the dark bruises on her ass. She wanted to say something, but she thought better of it. Tom and Alexis took a seat at the table. Marie had set out plates and silverware and lit the candles.
Lexi, we're going to have someone else showing up tomorrow night. He mentioned. I really need you to pull it together.
Alexis kneeled on her small bench seat. She looked up at him sadly.
I'm sorry, sir. I promise I'm better now. I wish you would tell me what's going on with Marie, sir. You know that I'll support you no matter what.
Tomorrow. Tom said.
It will all make sense tomorrow.
Marie brought in a large bowl of pasta with roasted vegetables. It wasn't a very fancy dish. It wasn't nearly as nice as the meal that Francesca had cooked for them. But it was simple, fast, and tasty. It was a favorite of Tom's growing up. She set down a plate of fresh garlic bread as well. She disappeared, coming back with a glass of wine for him.
Thank you,
he said gratefully. He was hungrier than he thought.
You're welcome, sir,
she answered as she knelt back down next to him.
Would you or mistress like me to pleasure you, sir? I'd like that, sir,
Alexis replied, looking for approval. He nodded. Alexis moved from her kneeling position to a seated one as they began to eat. Marie crawled under the table, settling herself between her legs, and began to lick her pussy, paying close attention to her performance. Tom and Alexis were engaged in small talk mostly. Alexis mentioned that she had heard from almost all the girls regarding the contracts. It sounded as if everything was moving along. They discussed some simple details for the following night, but Tom diverted the conversation when it came to anything he preferred that his mother not hear. Alexis' face screwed shut in the middle of a sentence. She calmly placed her silverware on the plate, and then pressed her palms down into the table on either side of her placemat. Her eyes closed, and her breathing quickened. And then she came. A smile crept across her face as she opened her eyes again and resumed eating. Tom slipped his running pants down. It took no more than a few seconds before he felt the warm, wet mouth swallow him under the table. He sat back in his chair, sipping his wine. Marie coated his shaft in saliva, using her hand to cover it liberally. Then she sucked his balls while she stroked his cock, giving him a wet handjob. She lifted her head occasionally to add some more saliva. Tom had to admit that it felt amazing. She managed to get his cock and his balls with this technique. He finished his glass of wine, setting it down. And soon after, he shot his load. He stood up and went back to his bedroom with no acknowledgement for his mother. Alexis joined him. Marie sat under the table as they left. The first jet of cum had streaked across her cheek and into her left eye. She had managed to get him into her mouth to swallow the rest. She reached a finger up and cleaned the mess that blurred her vision. Then she crawled out from under the table, cleared the dishes, and began to put away the leftovers. She had been used as an instrument of pleasure for the both of them.
The fact that he had left her there without acknowledgement made her pussy drip with need. Tom lay back on his bed, letting out a huge sigh. He felt weary. A full stomach and a good orgasm doubled his fatigue. It was early yet for him, only around 8:30 p.m. He looked at Alexis, who knelt on the floor staring at him silently.
"What is it?"
he asked tiredly.
"May I join you, sir?"
"Yes."
Alexis sat on the bed, feeling the sting from her rear. She shut her eyes, taking in the sensation. "Keep it together," she thought to herself. She reached up to unlatch her collar.
"Leave it on. I like seeing you in it,"
he said. She snuggled up next to him, hoping he wasn't too angry for her outburst earlier. Tom leaned over and kissed her belly.
"Good night, little man,"
he whispered. He laid his head on her breasts and drifted to sleep. Alexis sat there looking at him. This was her whole world. He had fallen asleep so quickly, she thought. He must have been tired. For the first time, she really thought about what must be going through his head. These new women in the house were his family. It couldn't have been easy for him, yet he rarely showed any personal emotional involvement. She wondered how vulnerable he must feel beneath his otherwise steely veneer. She worried about him. The Red Comforter had swallowed Jane into a vast dreamless sleep. She'd written the proposals like he asked. It was far simpler than he probably thought. She had the original language drafted in the settlement she had offered a week ago. It only took an adjustment here and there on the terms to alter it into three versions. After that, she knelt back down and stared at herself in the mirror again. By the time she climbed onto the soft pillow-top mattress, her body had given in to exhaustion. She couldn't even remember setting her head on the pillow. To Jane's annoyance, she was awoken by the morning light spilling into the room. This room had no blinds on the windows. She crawled off the edge of the mattress, reached her hands up to the table, snatching the leather-bound book, and quickly retreated back under the covers. She began reading, starting from the first page. If Jane thought that Tom's books ignited passion in her, then this diary would be the equivalent of hardcore porn. There was no secondary storyline. It was a tale of submission told from the first person. There was something else that distinguished it from his books. This was a true story written by a woman she had just come to know. Alexis may have seemed perfect and graceful in her submission, but she had suffered at his hand before she perfected her movements. Jane was glued to her words. She wished she could masturbate. It was one of the rules, though. She thought that perhaps she wasn't allowed to come without permission. She didn't know if there was a distinction. She slid her fingers down into her cunt and began to pump them in and out. It didn't take long until she wanted to explode. She stopped, let it subside, and then began again. It was really just making things worse. The door opened without any knock. Tom strolled in naked, seeing her with the book in her hands. She hurriedly slid out of the bed onto her knees. He walked right up to her and fed his cock into her mouth, and then relieved himself. Jane knelt humiliated again as her throat struggled to swallow the foul liquid. Once he was finished, he looked down at her.
"How do you like your room?"
Jane paused for a moment before she answered. She was beginning to realize that the women in this diary were special to him. The more she read, the more special she felt.
"It's very nice, sir," she answered. "Good. I'm glad you like it,"
he said before turning around and leaving. It was very confusing for Jane to see him walk out the door. She thought that he would fuck her, or ask to have his cock sucked. He hadn't, though. He just pissed in her mouth and left her there. She went to follow him. It was the first time that she noticed the door couldn't be opened from the inside. Maria woke feeling very on edge. John would be here tonight. She would have to look him in the face for the first time since she confronted him about his affair in their kitchen. The idea of seeing him did not sit well with her. She liked this new life. A part of her wished she could just leave her husband in her past and not think about him any longer. She had finally finished Tom's book last night. He was so talented. She was proud as a mother. She thought that she should go downstairs and continue to be a better submissive for him. Something kept her from moving. She opened the French doors to her patio and sat quietly appreciating the California sunrise for the first time since her arrival. The coffee machine hummed. The electric kettle was heating up water for tea. Alexis had been up for a while already. She was in a particularly good mood. With any luck today would be one a major step back in the right direction for Sir. She wanted the additional stress wiped from his slate. She poured his coffee into his favorite mug and began steeping some tea for herself. She grabbed his cup and walked upstairs to find him. He was in his bathroom brushing his teeth.
"Sir, your coffee,"
she said, setting it down on the counter.
"I love you, sir. I need to take Jane with me this morning."
"All right," he mumbled with toothpaste running down his chin. She turned around and headed toward Jane's room. She knocked lightly, and then opened the door. Alexis didn't enter. She watched as Jane slipped to the floor in front of her.
"Good morning, mistress,"
Jane said in awe of the blonde woman standing naked before her. Jane could hardly look at her the same way anymore. There was nothing left to the woman that she found to be scary or disconcerting. Now, she looked on thinking about everything she had endured to earn her status. Jane had read nearly 8 months of her entries. This woman seemed to be a hero to her, a mentor, at the very least. The insight that Jane had gotten gave her a better impression than Marie would ever have.
"Good morning, slut,"
Alexis stated. "We're leaving in 15 minutes.
Meet me in the foyer."
"Yes, mistress."
Angie sat on the roof of the London Hotel in West Hollywood. The rooftop pool was filled with clear, still water. The smell of chlorine filled the air.
She sat off to the side of the pool at a small breakfast table under a bright-colored umbrella. She had a full view of Sunset Boulevard as it snaked along the base of the Hollywood Hills. For Angie, it was just a breathtaking view. She had snuck out before John was awake. She wanted to soak in this moment by herself. Her initial thought was to celebrate with something special like a stack of waffles or pancakes. But Angie was health-conscious and decided that a bowl of oatmeal, some fruit, and a large glass of orange juice would suffice. She read over the email again, thinking about what this evening would bring. Would he just make her watch? Would he fuck her? Would he fuck her in front of other submissive women? That sounded particularly scandalous, but she was here to partake in a bit of risque behavior. Some part of her knew that Tom would push her down a path that would frighten her as much as it excited her. Tom walked into his mom's room. She didn't hear him enter. He saw her sitting in the chair on the patio. He admired her for a moment. Her blonde hair was brushed out and shiny. He could see the black collar peeking through her locks. Her back was straight, and he looked at the gentle slope of her shoulders and the curve of her back. He found it very alluring to see a woman's curves when she sat properly. He wondered what she was thinking. "Good morning," he said, standing a few feet behind her. He watched her swing to the side, looking for him as she spun from her seat, landing on her knees in one fluid movement.
"Good morning, sir. I didn't hear you come in."
"That's all right," he smiled. "You're adjusting well to submission. I'm impressed with how well you move." Marie smiled, flattered by his recognition.
"Is there anything I can do for you, sir? You know he's going to be here tonight," Tom said.
"I haven't had a chance to discuss it with you."
"I heard," she said.
"I trust you, sir.
That's all you have to say?"
"There isn't anything else to say, sir."
"All right. Well, I have some requests from you," he stated. "I assume this will be difficult for you. I want you to listen to me tonight. No matter what I say, I just want you to follow my lead."
"Yes, sir." "You realize that there's no way for him to come here and not see how I live?" Her eyes narrowed in thought for a moment, as her brow furrowed.
"Doesn't that worry you, sir? Aren't you worried about what he'll say about this?
About me? Do you want to go home?"
"No."
"Do you want him back at all? What if he apologized? What if he cried and swore on his life that he'd be a better person and a better husband?" Marie paused.
I can't. I can't take him back, sir. It's not even the betrayal of trust anymore.
Sir, I like it here. My life the last few years has been this lifestyle. Not exactly, but I served him in a way. I cooked. I cleaned. I did as I was told. But there wasn't a sexual reward. There wasn't a real structure of rules. I prefer being punished by you than being berated and talked down to disrespectfully. I already have more friends here than I did back home. People that care about me, sir." The words flowed from Marie's mouth. Saying it all out loud was a true moment of clarity for her. She really was finding herself in his home.
"Okay. Then you listen to me tonight, even if I embarrass you."
"Yes, sir." "Is there anything else you want to talk about?" he asked.
"No, sir. I'd just like to please you."
She paused.
"You can, piss in my mouth if that's what you want."
She really wanted to be acknowledged the same way he talked to Jane. Tom laughed.
"I don't want that for you. You're different than your sister. She's turned on by embarrassment. She's affected by the pain and embarrassment the same way you are by pleasure. She gets off on it. It's less common. Does that make sense to you?"
"No, sir," she replied honestly. Tom just smiled warmly. "Climb on the bed." He watched as his mother crawled up onto the mattress.
"Are you embarrassed about your body? Does this bother you being naked around younger women?"
Marie blushed.
"A little, sir."
Tom walked into her closet and pulled out her full-length mirror. He propped it up at the end of the bed, allowing her to see her reflection.
"Spread your pussy," he said.
"Bend your legs back and reach around under your thighs and spread your pussy." Marie obeyed.
"Now look at your reflection. Look at your pussy. And then look at yourself and say, 'This is my pussy.' This is my pussy, sir."
"No," Tom said calmly.
"Don't say it to me. Say it to yourself. This is my pussy. This is my cunt."
Marie felt silly. She stared back into the mirror again. She didn't think she'd ever really looked at her pussy so closely. She spread her lips wider and stroked a finger down the middle. Then she looked at her face. This was her. This was her body. Alexis and Fran and Abby had all told her she was beautiful. Then she looked at her eyes in the reflection, staring back at her.
"This is my pussy. This is my cunt. And what are those?"
Tom said, pointing. Marie took the cue. She grabbed her breasts, lifting them up.
"These are my breasts."
She sat up, watching them hang. She grabbed her nipples, pulling on them.
"These are my titties and my nipples."
It was the word Alexis used when she eavesdropped her first day here, titties. It excited her to use these naughtier words.
"And what have you been doing the last few days?"
Tom asked.
"Look at yourself. Look at your body. Say what you've been doing here."
Marie got on her knees, rubbing her pussy with one hand and massaging her breast with the other.
"I've been."
She thought about the last week. Then a small smile crept across her face. She watched it in the mirror.
"I've been acting like a big slut. I've been getting fucked in my pussy, in my cunt, and in my ass."
"You're hot," Tom said. "You're a sexy, hot piece of ass. I like fucking you." He dropped his pants down to the floor and lifted his cock.
"What's this?"
he asked. Marie looked over at him.
She smiled an absolutely devilish smile.
That is a huge fucking cock.
Tom smiled.
And what are you going to do with it?
I'm going to fuck it, sir. I'm going to put my cum all over it. Tom climbed up and situated himself behind her.
Look at yourself and say it again.
Marie looked in the mirror.
I'm going to fuck it, sir.
Tom pressed into her pussy. It squished with arousal.
Don't take your eyes off your reflection. I want you to see what you look like when you get fucked.
He looped his finger through one of the rings in her collar, holding her head up to the mirror. She didn't look away. She saw her mouth slightly agape as he slammed into her. Her breasts jiggled beneath her. Marie had never ever watched herself like this, and she couldn't help but think she looked good getting fucked. She thought she looked like a total slut. He quickened his pace and held onto her hips. She watched as pounded her hard and fast. Her look turned to one of surprise and then strain as she saw her face scrunching and as she came.
Oh shit. Fuck. Ugh.
Tom pulled his cock out, seeing the thick amount of cum covering it. He pressed the tip against her tight, crinkled asshole.
What am I going to do? Look at yourself and tell me.
She felt him pressing at her hole. She looked up, seeing him staring at her in the reflection, and then she looked at herself.
You're going to fuck my ass, sir.
He pushed forward, feeling the head pop inside her. She saw herself wince and then gasp at the fullness of her tightest hole.
You're a big slut.
He said, sinking himself in further.
You like it in your ass, don't you?
I. She saw her face and felt him splitting her. It didn't hurt like it did that first time. It felt strangely sensitive. He pushed further.
Well? Yes. Yes, sir.
She screamed out, feeling like she couldn't fit much more.
I like it. I like it in my ass.
Seeing herself say it in the reflection was the same as admitting it to herself. She could see the enjoyment in her face.
Oh shit, sir. I'm a slut. I'm a big slut. Who's slut?
He said as he pulled back and then began thrusting into her ass in with quick, powerful thrusts.
Oh god. Oh god. Oh shit.
She panted at her reflection.
Why you're slut? You're a slut, sir. Ugh. Why you own me? My son is my owner.
Tom growled in her ear.
Repeat that.
She looked at his glare in the mirror. It always bothered her when he made her refer to their relation. She was breathing heavily.
And my son is my owner. Oh fuck.
She looked at herself as she came with incredible force and her pussy squirted out. She looked like a whore having her first anal orgasm. Tom just kept pumping into her. He fucked her pussy and her ass. He kept her coming until she came to terms with the words he made her speak. Alexis pushed open the large metal security door, leading Jane inside. It took a moment for Jane to process her surroundings. Her breathing was husky, seeing all of the straps and paddles and whips in the display cases. It immediately caused those feelings inside her. She thought about being struck by them. She could feel her pussy moisten at the thought. Alexis looked up, seeing Stephen in the front of the shop talking to a rather skinny, nervous man. She waited for him to wrap things up.
Do you like what you see, Jane? She asked. Oh yes, mistress.
She responded a little too enthusiastically.
Good.
Alexis responded.
Take off your jacket. Here?
Jane asked a little panicked.
Right now, mistress?
Alexis didn't respond. Jane slid the short trench coat from her shoulders, revealing her naked, bruised body. Her heart race being revealed in a public place.
Kneel.
Jane dropped down onto her knees. She watched the man in the front of the shop finishing his conversation with the lanky gentleman. Then she watched him turn his attention back toward them. He moved forward in an easy stride. She was struck by his thick form. His shoulders were square. The shirt he wore clung to his broad, muscled chest. He was a stocky, imposing figure.
Well, fuck me. He blurted out. I just saw Tom yesterday. I'm getting a little jealous with all the activity at his place.
Alexis gave him a kiss on the cheek.
It's been busy, Stephen. You know how he gets. He's been motivated lately.
She looked down.
Jane? Yes, mistress? Say hello to Stephen.
Jane looked up, feeling absolutely objectified in front of this stranger. Her poor pussy was completely soggy.
Good morning, Stephen. It's nice to meet you. Mistress?
He replied with a smirk.
This one is yours?
Sir is good to me.
She was a gift. I have three of my own now to play with.
Alexis replied with a pleasant smile.
May I have a look at her?
He asked. Alexis nodded.
Get up here, Peach.
Stephen ordered. He watched Jane climb to her feet. Stand with your feet shoulder-width apart. Straighten your back.
Put your arms behind your back.
Jane glanced over at Alexis, confused by the orders.
Go ahead, Jane. Do what he says.
She straightened her back and stood as he requested.
What a fucking slut. You got whipped something fierce, huh? I made that strap. I can see from the bruises that's what he used on you. Yes, sir. Stephen.
She didn't know how to respond to him. Stephen ran his hands over her breasts and pinched her nipples. Jane's body was reacting in ways that made her uncomfortable. She couldn't deny that her heart was racing. The way he touched her was just so unusual. It wasn't sexual. He was inspecting her. He spread her ass cheeks, looking at the bruises, and then walked back around in front of her, still smirking. He took two steps back, looking her up and down.
Yeah, he told me you'd be coming. First his mom, now his aunt.
He laughed, emitting a raspy, cackling sound.
Fucking your nephew, huh? Looks like you earned that title.
He said, pointing at her chest. He reached down, running his hand over her pussy.
Her legs shook as pleasure coursed through her.
Ha! You're soaked, slut!
He said, grabbing her chin and lifting her face to look at him. Her eyes were wide and wet as he continued running his hands over her entire pussy. She shook and then she gasped as she came.
Shit, Alexis!
Steven said apologetically.
I didn't mean to get her off. It's okay. She's a pain slut. She can't help herself.
Alexis smiled gracefully, not bothered in the slightest.
What do you say, Jane?
Thank you, sir.
Steven?
She had a habit lately of answering things as a question when she was confused. Steven brought his hand up to his mouth and ran his tongue along his fingers.
You're welcome. Tastes sweet. You're a tasty peach.
He cackled again.
I've got work to do.
Feel free to look around. Alexis pulled Jane toward the front of the shop. She didn't allow her to put back on the short jacket. Jane wondered what would happen if someone walked in and saw her this way. The embarrassment flushed her skin and ignited her pussy. She just wanted to go somewhere private and masturbate. It was the worst of Sir's instructions. She'd never been limited in her ability to satisfy herself when she felt the need. It caused her arousal to compound, making her ever more aware of things that excited her. That orgasm just now had made her feel needier. Alexis showed her the wide display of collars.
This is what you want, she said, gesturing toward the display. Yes, mistress. Go ahead. Pick one out.
Jane didn't really need to take the time to look through them. Despite the variety, she gravitated toward one in particular. It was a thick red padded collar with a thin strip of hard black leather running around the center. She quickly snatched it off the shelf and brought it to her neck. Jane felt overcome with emotion as she felt it against her skin. This was what she wanted. She held it up for Alexis to see.
Well, that was fast, Alexis noted.
She admired Jane's decisiveness.
Come on.
She walked back to the register and set it down, ringing the small bell. Steven popped back from his workstation. He looked at the collar on the countertop.
You want this one?
Yes.
Sir?
Jane replied.
You can't have it, he said. Please, sir,
she pleaded.
Beg me for it,
he said, looking at Alexis, who watched him carefully, trying to figure out why he was reluctant.
Please, sir. I'm begging you to sell it to me. Please, I want this collar.
Yeah, I'm not going to sell it to you, he replied.
How about a different one?
A different one, sir?
Jane didn't want a different one. She wanted this one. What she really wanted was to personalize it like Marie had done to hers. She wondered if that would seem unoriginal. But that didn't matter now. He wouldn't let her have it. She wished that Alexis would say something, but she just stood there and watched the exchange.
Yeah,
Steven said, ducking down behind the counter and pulling out a collar.
I'll sell you this one,
Jane gasped. She reached forward and picked it up, carefully examining it. It was the same black collar that Alexis and Marie had. This one was different in one regard. The words "needy slut" were engraved into the leather across the front. Alexis showed her surprise.
How did you know? Tom asked me to make that special, he said.
Sir, pick this,
Jane said to no one in particular. It was more a reverent acknowledgement that he wanted her to have this one. For the first time, she realized that she was referring to her nephew by his title even when he wasn't around. Marie was panting heavily on the bed in a presentation position. Her ass was stretched open and her pussy glistened with a sheen of cum. She looked used. Tom paced across the hardwood floor at the base of her bed. His phone was pressed tightly against his ear.
Just cut to the chase, Jim.
What did she say?
He snipped.
Sorry, I was just trying to build it up.
She loved it, man.
I mean, she really loved it. The reason she didn't respond yesterday was because she gave it to the other senior publishers to read over the weekend. It was the first thing on their agenda in this morning's staff meeting.
Which means what exactly? He asked.
Will I be getting my delivery payment?
They're processing the delivery today.
Check goes out next week, Jim said.
But she wants to get on the phone to tell you herself.
I told her you had three more proposals.
I need to talk to Frank, but I don't think we gave them rights of first refusal, which means we're not obligated to take it to them.
She sounded panicked, Tom.
They're gonna go large on their offer to try and take it off the table.
Tom smiled.
What does that mean, Jim? What does go large mean?
My guess is that they'll come at us with around $2.5 million for the advance on the next one. They're convinced the new one will hit the bestseller list on its first week out.
Frank is going to be over at my house tonight.
What are the chances we can set a late conference call?
Like around 8 p.m.?
I'll have my assistant get into now and let you know.
Jim paused.
Tom, you know what this means, don't you? No one thinks you're just some fluke that got lucky.
You're playing with the big boys now.
You've arrived.
So it seems,
Tom said.
Let's not pat each other on the back yet. We'll talk tonight.
Tom hung up the phone in a daze. He was practiced at hiding his emotions, but he was certainly struck with disbelief. He'd nearly given up on the idea of being a writer altogether. He almost went into business administration. He was getting paid out for his new book, and it appeared he was going to make a sizable deal for the next two. It was a mountain of money. He would have been happy living modestly if it meant he could write. That just didn't seem to be in the cards for him. He was meant for something larger. Alexis and Jane stopped back at the house. Jane put the new collar in her room, and then scurried across the hall to find her sister. Tom had long since left her there, but Marie hadn't moved. He hadn't asked her to stay in that position. She just felt paralyzed by the strength of her last climax.
Whoa,
Jane said, coming into the room. She grinned as her sister turned her head and saw her standing there.
What happened to you?
Marie didn't say anything. She just sat there with a dreamy, satisfied look on her face. Mistress said we're going to get our nails done. And Sir said I have to take care of this. She said, feeling the blonde curls above her pussy. She's waiting for us. Marie didn't need any more explanation. It was funny to listen to Jane rambling about her trip to Hollywood. Marie and Jane were always close, but it had been a long time since they truly felt like gossipy sisters. Marie reveled in the feeling of being a big sister again. Right now, though, she was just thinking about seeing Fran and Abby. The three of them piled into Alexis' car and started off toward Beverly Hills. Jane kept her eyes glued to the window, asking about the restaurants and stores that they passed. She was enjoying Los Angeles, and she was already considering the reality of moving out permanently. Alexis dropped the car off with the valet. Jane and Marie walked behind her as she swung the door open and entered the bustling establishment. It was the same bored girl working the reception desk. She glanced up from her magazine and immediately recognized Alexis. Jane was startled when she heard the excited clap coming from somewhere beyond the dividing wall behind the front counter.
Oh good. Oh good. Yes, yes. Abby. Come, come. They're here.
Marie heard the clacking begin. It was offbeat until Fran hit her stride, and then she spotted her emerging from a group of women near the back of the salon. She wore another tight business suit and waved her hands in excited circles as she waddled forward in a flurry of excitement. Marie couldn't help but smile, remembering how overwhelming she found the Italian woman just a few days ago. Fran was back in her element, and Marie noted how different she seemed when she wasn't under the watchful eye of her owner.
Buongiorno! Buongiorno!
The kisses began.
Abby? Abby!
She shouted, frustrated, before the girl appeared by her side.
Yes. There you are. Take Marie and Alexis. Okay? Yes, yes. You get started.
She turned her attention to Jane, who stared back at her, not having been formally introduced.
Now, now. Jane!
She pulled her forward brusquely, kissing each cheek.
So nice to meet you.
Yes, very nice.
I'm Francesca. I'll be taking care of you today.
Now, now.
We saw you yesterday, yes? There is work to do. Come, come.
Come on. She dragged Jane along before she had time to interject. 20 minutes later, Jane found herself spread eagle on a table with Francesca inspecting the tuft of hair between her legs. The wax was heating up. Fran set aside some waxing strips. Jane usually kept herself presentable down there, but it had grown out a bit. She had never removed her hair entirely. She preferred leaving a small, manicured patch. It made her feel like a woman.
We can do a derm appeal to get this writing off. Yes?
Fran asked, reaching up and touching her breasts.
No,
Jane said quietly.
I want it there.
She looked back at her shyly.
Fran? Yes? What is it?
She said as she began to spread the wax across pubic hair.
I'm reading the diary. Sir, put me in that room.
Jane wasn't sure how else to bring it up. She hadn't read many of Francesca's entries, but she had glanced through a few of them. Fran stopped in the middle of what she was doing. Her eyes watered up.
Mio Dio!
She whispered.
Sir likes you. Be strong, yes? You must be strong. Oh, this is very exciting. Yes.
I am?
Special?
She asked timidly.
Yes, yes. You'll see.
Fran said, ripping a strip back, pulling out her hair.
We'll make this pussy beautiful, yes? Just the way he likes it. Yes, you'll see.
John did his best to shuck off the anger building in the pit of his stomach. He kept trying to focus on the fact that this would all be over soon. He had Angie with him, although he was annoyed that he didn't get to fuck her in the hotel room when they arrived. He was certain that his wife would crumble when they met. She'd immediately regret her reaction to his indiscretions. Angie had gone out. She mentioned to John that she wanted to sit by the pool last night. He wanted to go find her, but he thought he'd take the moment of privacy to get the particulars out of the way for this evening. He dialed his son's number and waited patiently for him to pick up.
Hey,
Tom answered.
Did you make it out all right? Yeah. I'm here. Great. How was the flight? Where are you staying anyway?
Tom asked. He was still in a good mood this morning.
The flight was fine. I'm staying at the London in West Hollywood. That's close to you, right? Close enough.
A little trendy for you, though, Tom quipped.
So?
John asked, unamused and waiting for him to get into it.
Are we all set to meet up tonight? She's not going to back out, is she? I spent a lot of money flying out here.
Tom could hear the anger and annoyance in his voice.
Relax, Dad, he said in a calming tone. I made you a promise. I said I'd talk some sense into her. I said I'd get her to sit down with you. I'm not saying she's excited about it, but you've got your shot to talk to her.
Good, he said, slightly snippy.
So how are we doing this? I'll pick you up at 6:30 p.m. How does that sound? We're meeting at your apartment, right?
He asked.
No. She's staying up in Hollywood. Don't worry about that, though. You'll have your privacy.
Whatever,
he snipped. It's fine. She better be fucking reasonable.
Look, Tom said.
Can you try and be nice when you show up? At least try and resolve things? God, you're such a pansy,
John said in disbelief before hanging up the phone.
Marie sat with her legs spread wide while Abby inspected her freshly waxed pussy. It didn't really need to be waxed again, but Alexis said she might as well clean it up. Abby fidgeted on the small stool at the end of the table. She wanted to taste this woman again.
That looks good, Abby.
Alexis said, reaching out a hand and feeling the baby soft skin around Marie's pussy.
You'd like to lick that, wouldn't you?
Oh yes, mistress, she replied.
She's so wet.
It was true. Marie was soaking wet displayed in front of these two women. She felt exposed and needy. But she remained still and kept quiet. That was the instruction she was given. Alexis had Marie flip onto her stomach. She ran her hands across her full ass cheeks. The recent bruises were still dark and visible.
I don't want you to lick her pussy, Abby. I want you to eat her ass.
Marie tensed at the command. She never had a tongue on her ass. She thought about licking Alexis when Sir had told her to use the butt plug. She kept wondering what it would feel like, and if she'd even enjoy it. Then in the middle of those thoughts she felt Abby's hands spreading her cheeks, and her moist tongue wiggle into her. She gasped and grabbed the side of table as the most unusual and delicious sensations flooded through her. She was still stretched from getting fucked in her ass before they came here, and the young girl's tongue had no trouble slipping inside her.
Come on, Abby. Put a finger in her cunt while you eat her ass. I want you to make her come.
Alexis encouraged her. Abby moved to Marie's side so she could angle her fingers into her pussy and continue to lick her rear. She slipped two fingers inside her to start, and then a third. Abby worked eagerly to obey the command. Marie began to moan uncontrollably at the attention. It felt surprisingly good. The more the girl tongued into her, the more she realized how much she enjoyed it. Never in her life had it occurred to her how good this might feel. As much as she enjoyed the tongue, it was Abby's fingers that were driving her crazy. She pressed them inside her in just the right way that she was going to explode. She needed to come. Whether it was intentional or not, Abby kept her right on the edge. Marie didn't even realize that she was pushing back into her, trying to drive her fingers and tongue deeper.
Oh, hi, Sushit.
She whimpered breathlessly. And then she let loose and her hips bucked, knocking Abby backward. She slipped her own hand onto her clit and rubbed it furiously as her pussy squirted an impressive stream.
Ugh.
Abby stared at her in disbelief. She didn't know that Marie could squirt, and it had sprayed down her left arm and dripped to the floor. The young girl's mouth latched onto her pussy, immediately tasting the delicious wetness. Marie cried out as she felt the tongue on her pussy. She was pretty sure she was still coming, and she continued to shake and buck before going limp in a sudden fit of exhaustion.
Of course I didn't give them first rights of refusal,
Frank exclaimed, somewhat insulted by the insinuation.
I made it perfectly clear when we closed the deal. If they wanted the opportunity to look at your next book before any other publishers, then you were going to get a first dollar gross percentage of the sales. They balked at me. Well, let's see how much they balk now, Tom. If they liked it as much as Jim said, then I think they'll go higher than $2.5 million.
Tom leaned back in the leather chair in front of Frank's desk.
You think so? I thought 2.5 sounded pretty good. I'm sure you did.
Frank laughed.
Which is why you pay me to do the thinking for you. Jim handles all that creative shit and deals with these publishing yahoos. I handle the business affairs. I make sure the deal points favor you. Trust me on this one.
I do trust you, Frank.
Jim and Marianne are going to be jumping on the phone with me around 8 p.m. tonight. Why so late?
He asked. Then he paused, sizing up his client.
You have something up your sleeve. What's going on?
My dad is in tonight. I'm picking him up at the London at 6:30 p.m.
I want you there if that's okay. So that's what my slut wife has been up to the last 2 days.
Frank said, smiling.
Yeah, if you want me there, I'll be there. There's a wrinkle,
Tom said. Frank's eyebrow arched.
Oh yeah? What kind of wrinkle?
He brought the masseuse, Tom said.
No shit? He's not too smart. Or maybe he thinks he's smarter than he is. Does he know that you know?
Nope.
She called me. She thinks she's out here for some vacation. He said he has a business dinner tonight, and she wanted to come see me while he's out.
Unbelievable. So he sneaks her out here when he's supposed to be reconciling his divorce. And he has no idea she cheated on him. And she has no idea that you're his son. So he's going to your place to confront your mom, and she's going to your place to see you. And everyone is going to end up there at the same time? Is that right?
Yeah, that's basically it,
Tom said. Frank bellowed out in laughter.
You have a flair for the dramatic. I'll give you that much.
And went over to see Francesca this morning to get herself dolled up. Now I see why. She's over there now?
Tom asked.
She should be,
Frank said, checking his watch.
Come on. Let's go pay them a visit.
The poor receptionist didn't really know how to handle the situation unfolding in the front of the salon. There were three high-maintenance, rich housewives seething over the delay for their appointments. The girl was used to the occasional hiccup in the schedule, but Francesca had been shifting things around a lot lately. It was the tall Middle Eastern woman that seemed to be leading the commotion.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Hallaby. There's really nothing I can do. We can reschedule you, and I'm sure that Francesca would be happy to give you a free treatment.
I don't want a free treatment. I scheduled this appointment weeks ago. What I want is to be taken care of, not in an hour, not tomorrow, but now.
But
I... Tom and Frank walked in through the front door. Frank was finishing a rather animated story, and the two men laughed heartily as they approached the counter. The receptionist panicked when she saw him enter.
She didn't know much about Tom except that Francesca treated him with priority and prominence among her patrons. She nervously looked from Tom back to the Middle Eastern woman.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Hallaby. Please just give me one moment.
She turned her attention back to the men.
Mr. Bolden, welcome.
Is she expecting you?
No.
He replied.
I just thought I'd stop in for a few.
Excuse me. The woman standing next to him huffed out her displeasure.
I was in the middle of something before you interrupted.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Please.
Tom said, gesturing to the counter as if allowing her to finish. She immediately cut back in.
I want to talk to the manager.
But she's not available. She asked to not be disturbed.
Frank rolled his eyes at Tom. He really couldn't stand the entitled, rich women that frequently Beverly Hills.
Tom chuckled at his antics. He stared at the woman from behind. She definitely had an ass.
What's the problem?
He asked. The problem is that I have an appointment, and this little, girl. She refrained from using a worse term for her. Can't seem to fit us in or call me ahead of time before I wasted the day coming over here. Tom could see his women in the back of the room sitting in a row of chairs getting manicures and pedicures. It was the whole group including Anne and Beth. He could have just walked back and ignored the situation, but he'd been in a good mood and it occurred to him that this problem was due to Fran fitting in his girls.
Francesca.
Tom bellowed out without warning. It startled the receptionist who was already on edge. Fran looked up and saw Sir at the front counter.
Oh murda.
She muttered and began clacking forward. She realized from the frustrated look on the receptionist's face that there was some type of problem.
Hello, sir?
She said in a cheery sing-song voice.
Hey there.
He replied, kissing her cheek.
You look lovely today.
Thank you? She replied.
I didn't know you were coming by.
What's the matter?
This lovely woman has an appointment with her friends, and it seems you can't fit her in.
Mio Dio, I am so sorry. She said.
We had some last-minute appointments.
Someone should have called. She gave a disapproving glance at the young girl behind the counter.
Well, I'm not impressed with.
The Middle Eastern woman began.
Look, Fran. Tom said, butting in.
Send Jane, Marie and Alexis into one of the treatment rooms. Let them know that I'll be with them shortly. That'll clear up some chairs for these ladies. And send Abby up here to see me.
Yes, sir.
Fran responded and then clacked off to the back.
That should solve things.
He said, looking at the woman.
I didn't catch your name.
Anissa. She replied, intrigued by the stranger.
I'm Tom.
It's a pleasure to meet you. He lifted her hand and gave it a kiss. Fran will have room for you in just a moment. I apologize for the inconvenience. She was doing me a favor.
Oh, well, thank you.
She replied a bit smitten. I hope I didn't seem too bitchy. Abby padded up to the front of the store.
Hello, sir.
She said, throwing her arms around him.
Hi.
He said, smiling. Abby, I need you to do me a favor and run across the street and get these women some coffee or tea while they're waiting. Anything they want. And Abby, make sure Fran knows that their appointment is on me.
Yes, sir.
Tom gave a small nod toward Anissa and her friends and walked back to find the other women with Frank. Anissa watched him leave. The command he respected from these other women was not lost on her. He acted so confidently and solved her issue without a second thought.
Who was he?
Anissa asked.
Mr. Bolden.
Abby replied. He sends Francesca a lot of business. Do you know much about him? She asked.
I know enough.
Abby grinned, deflecting an in-depth answer. I'd be careful if I were you. She saw the look on the woman's face and knew what she was thinking. The hotel suite was empty when Angie arrived back to the room. She went to the bathroom and started the shower. She needed to shave her pussy. It was one of his instructions. Angie sat on the small tiled seat and carefully removed the hair. Every time she touched her pussy, she could feel it getting wetter. She took the razor and shaved her legs and underarms until her entire body was smooth. She ran her hands over her mound, feeling the intense need building inside her. This entire day was like foreplay. She ached to be filled. She had just stepped out of the shower when John arrived back in the room with a cup of coffee from the cafe on the lower level. He looked into the bathroom, seeing her young, firm ass as she applied some cream to her skin.
Good morning, sunshine. He said, standing in the doorway.
Angie turned around and looked him up and down. She watched his eyes move down to her freshly shaved cunt. Then he met her gaze. She thought he seemed a little intimidated by her. For the first time in her life, she felt like an entirely sexual person. She was empowered by the needs and desires bubbling inside her.
See something you like, John?
She asked coyly.
Yes.
He stuttered. John was turned on by her subtle sexuality. She was always a bit nervous and reserved until they began fucking. He wasn't used to the look she was giving him now. Angie kept thinking about having that big cock back inside her tonight. She was dripping wet, and right now she just needed something. She walked forward and ran a finger down his sternum.
If you were a smart man, you'd be setting that coffee down and taking off those pants.
She smiled a wicked little smile.
Don't you know when a woman needs to be fucked?
John reached his hand to the side and set the coffee cup on the small dresser. He wasn't really paying attention, and the cup ended up partially off the edge. It teetered for a second and then fell to the floor, spilling into the carpet. He did his best to ignore it as he unbuckled his pants. Angie pushed him backward onto the bed and yanked the pants off the rest of the way. She climbed up on top of him with slow, determined, and entirely sexual movements.
Are you going to fuck me with your big cock?
She asked.
She was feeling liberated by this new side of herself. She took his hand and brought it to her shaved pussy.
This story is continued in the next part. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Thank you for listening.